Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38-48. Some of you Bible students will know that that is the place where Jesus gives what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5. Four verses, not 10. So that's my typo there. But as is my custom, I would like for us to read the scriptures together out loud. We'll begin at verse 38. Shall we begin? You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Please continue.
And if someone wants to sue you and take it to me, let him have your foot as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. He gives to the one who asks you.
You have heard it said that it love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Let's continue, yeah. But I tell you,
love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous.
If you love those who love you,
what reward will you get? And have even the tax collectors doing that? And if you treat only your brothers, what are you really more than others? Did not even pagans do that?
Be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen. We are nearing the end of Part 2, Reason and Faith. It's a three-part series on Christianity with answers. And so far, in covering reason and faith, we've gone over questions such as, aren't all religions basically the same? And how could God reject 1 billion Chinese people? Or why would a good God allow evil, the problem of evil? If you missed them, you can go ahead and catch up on our website, mitakigc.com. Three different questions, three different sermons. However, this month, I'm going to spend 3 weeks on one question. And it will be the end of part two. The question is, can't I be good without God? Can't I be good without God? And this is going to be dealing with the subject of morality. Morality. What's the Japanese word for morality? Dentoku? Dōtoku. That's what it was. Dōtoku. It's difficult to say in Japanese. It's also difficult to say in English. Morality. Morality. Dōtoku. Can't I be good without God? Aren't there plenty of good atheists? And also, aren't there plenty of bad Christians? Isn't Christian morality basically the same as Hindu morality? When Jesus says, do to others what you would have them do to you, in Matthew chapter 7, it's the golden rule. It's the same as in other religions. So what's so special about Christian morality that's supposed to make it better than the others? Well, let's talk about this for a minute. Most moral systems are basically the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you want good to happen to you, do good to others. And if you don't want bad to happen to you, don't do bad to others. Now there's truth in this. This is not bad teaching. And, you know, it's important to live in harmony with those around us, and respect is a two-way street, and so on and so forth. And what we'll call this is basic morality. Basic morality. It's very simple. And it works for our day-to-day lives as we interact with the people around us. You know, we live with the understanding that when we do something nice for someone, that something nice should, not will, but should be done for us. That's morality. You know, if the person that we did a favor for, if not the person that we did the favor for, then at least someone along the line will do a favor for us. That, you know, when we do something to benefit others, then others will eventually do something to benefit us. This is basic morality. Basic morality. But Jesus taught a kind of morality that transcended this basic morality. Jesus showed us a kind of morality that made basic morality look like children's morality. Jesus gave us a morality that showed us that basic morality isn't even half of what God desires from us. Why? Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said, do good to people even when they can't do anything good to you. Jesus said, be kind to people even though they can never have the chance to show kindness to you. He says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the cheek, right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This is more than basic morality. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells the story of a good Samaritan. It's about a man who went out of his way against his own history and culture and showed kindness to someone that his own people hated. The good Samaritan story is a story of a man who showed extreme kindness to someone, and he didn't even worry about getting paid back. So when Jesus went to the cross, he did something that completely blows away basic morality. Because dying on the cross, he did something for people that could never be paid back. And this is what we call the morality of the cross. Cross morality. Romans chapter 5 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This blows away the golden rule. This goes far beyond do to others what you would have them do to you. It says, do good to others, regardless of whether or not they can return the favor. It says that while basic morality is a good place to start, it can only take you so far. It can only take you so far. Now, why did Jesus do this? Well, to demonstrate that by living under basic morality, we could never be free. Basic morality is a law in people's hearts that help them to be good. Now, what happens is, instead of letting people be kind out of the freedom to be kind, it somehow puts people under an obligation to be kind. You see, now I have to be good. I have to be good if I want good to happen to me. Right? I have to do that. If I want something good to happen to me, I have to be good. Now, what happens if I'm not good enough? What happens if I do something bad? What happens if I do something so bad that I could never do anything good enough to balance it out? And so now, this basic morality is a prison for me. Karma is not a cycle that brings a man up, but it's a vicious cycle that brings him down. I don't look forward to becoming a prince in the next life, but rather I fear ending up as a cockroach in the next life. I'm good not because I want to, but because I have to. It's an obligation. And so I'm a slave to this. And then there's this attitude of, when is somebody going to do something good for me? I've been doing nothing but giving, nothing but sacrificing, nothing but breaking my back. When am I going to get something good for a change? Why? Because the idea that was what comes around goes around has now become, what have you done for me lately? And people end up trapping themselves in a belief that it's not fair. My ship hasn't come in yet. It's too late for me to get the good I deserve. And the result is bitterness, it's misery, it's hatred, it's loneliness. All because we believed that morality is based on a system of payback. But the cross says, forget about getting paid back. Cross morality says it doesn't matter if people return the favor. Cross morality says that you are free to be as generous as God has been to you. The morality of the cross says that you are free to be as kind as God has been kind to you. You're free to be as forgiving as God has been forgiving to you. Cross morality says that you are free. Freely you have received, so freely give. This Christian man had a Jewish friend. And this Jewish friend was actually an author. He liked to write children's books. And this Jewish man one day became a Christian. And so this Christian wanted to ask his new Christian friend, who was a Jew, being a Jew, the way that you read the Bible is different from the way I read the Bible. You read it from the perspective of a story. If you could write a story about what you believe as a Jewish Christian, what would you say? And so the friend said, give me 1 week and I'll think about it. And 1 week later, the friend came back to him with the story that he had written. And it's a story that's well known for many children. It's a story called The Giving Tree. It's written by a man named Shel Silverstein. The story goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a tree. Big, beautiful, tall tree in the forest. And one day, a boy came walking by the tree. And he looked sad. And the tree looked at the boy and said, boy, you look sad. What's wrong? And the boy said, well, tree, I'm lonely. I want to play, but there's no one to play with. So the tree had an idea. She straightened up, pushed out her arms, and said, boy, come, climb my branches. Have some fun. So the boy climbed up the branches and played with the tree. And the tree was happy. Well, the boy went home and years went by. And one day the boy returned to where the tree was standing. And again the boy looked sad. And so the tree said to the boy, boy, you look sad. What's the problem? And the boy said, tree, I'm a little bit older now and I want to enjoy life, but I have no money. I need some money, tree. So the tree had an idea. Boy, take my fruit. Go into town and sell my fruit. And you can have some money. So the boy took the fruit from the tree and went and sold the fruit and had some money. And the tree was happy. A few years later, the boy comes back to the tree, and again he looks sad, and the tree says, boy, you look sad. What's the problem? And the boy says, well, tree, I'm bored. I want to go around the world. I want to see things. I want to experience things, but I don't have a boat. I need something to get around in. And so the tree said, I have an idea. Cut down my limbs and cut down my trunk and use it to make a boat for yourself, to go around the world. And so the boy got himself a saw and he started cutting down the arms, the branches, and the trunk of the tree. And he made a boat. And he went all around the world. And the tree was happy. Well, many years went by. Finally, the boy comes back to where now there's a stump. And again, the boy looks sad, and so the tree sees the boy and says, boy, you look sad. What's the problem? And the boy says, tree, I'm old. I've been around the world, I've seen many things, and I'm tired. I need rest. So the tree thinks for a minute, and he has this great idea. And she straightens herself up, as tall as she can, as tall as a little stump could be, and says, boy, why don't you sit on me and I'll give you rest. And so the boy thought, yeah. And went over to the stump, he sat down, and he had some rest. And the tree was happy. That story is a story of sacrifice, of giving without getting anything back. That story is the story of the morality of the cross. The morality of personal sacrifice with no promise of return. And that morality is far greater than basic morality. Do good to others as you would have them do good to you. If you are a follower of Jesus, your morality goes much further than the golden rule. Your morality goes much further than I scratch your back and you scratch mine. Your morality goes to the cross. And I want to say one thing about sacrifice. Sacrificing yourself for the sake of others. When you decide to sacrifice yourself, your time, your resources, your belongings, whatever, understand that you will not be understood. And many may even protest against your sacrifices and give you good reasons not to go along with it. And you need to be ready with an answer. And here's one answer. Your sacrifice is your choice. It is your decision. It is what you are giving. And it's not what the circumstances demand from you, but it's what you give because of what you have received. I'm going to tell one more story as I close. In World War II, there was the tragedy of the Holocaust, where many Jews were persecuted and murdered by the German Nazis. They had what they called concentration camps, where they rounded up as many Jews as they could and murdered them in gas chambers or through lethal injection. And so it wasn't just Jews, but it was people who supported Jews. It could be people in normal society, even Christians. There was one priest, his name was Maximilian Kolbe, a priest from Poland, who had hidden Jews in his church, about 2,000, and had spoken out against the atrocities of the Nazi regime. And so naturally he was brought to Auschwitz, which was one of the worst concentration camps they could find. And there he suffered torture alongside of Jews. And one day it was found that one man had gone missing. They couldn't find him. And as a punishment, the captain of Auschwitz said, I'm going to choose 10 men to kill, because one man decided to run away. And it didn't matter who, he just started pointing. You, 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 you. 10 men at random. And one man came forward and he was chosen and he said, no, please don't kill me, don't kill me, please. I have a family, I have children. If I die, they'll never see me again, and they need me to support them. And no one cared. But Maximilian Kolbe, he said, excuse me, I'll die in place of him. Let me go. And they protested. Why? It doesn't matter to you. Why do you want to die in his place? And Maximilian said, well, look, I'm old. I have no family. No one will miss me. Let him live. And so they let him take his place. He went on to starve and die in a concentration camp in place of this man. And that man ended up surviving the camp and living until about 1995 to tell that story. Jesus said that he laid his life down for mankind, and that no one took it from him. Christians, do not blame Jews for the killing of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I lay it down under my authority given to me. This is my sacrifice. When you choose to sacrifice yourself for someone's benefit, and they or someone else protests, for whatever reason it may be, you need to communicate like Jesus did, and be clear that it is your choice, not theirs, and that you're doing it on your terms, and no one is forcing you to do it. This is the case in which Christ sacrificed himself for us. And for this, we give him all the praise, glory, and honor. And that sacrifice is what we will commemorate today, being the first Sunday of the month, the sacrifice of the cross, where he gave his body and poured out his blood I'd like for you to consider again his sacrifice made for you as you prepare your hearts to partake in the ritual of communion. Would you take a moment and search your hearts? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are here understanding of the sacrifice that you gave to us. This is more than just the golden rule. This is the rule that saved the world. This is the morality of the cross. And for this, we thank you. We thank you so much, O Lord. And as you offered yourself up for our sakes, here and now, O Lord, we offer ourselves to you and remember what you did for us. Amen. As is our custom, we're going to read the scriptures together. After we read the scriptures, I'm going to invite you to come on up and take part of the cup and part of the bread. Before we read, I just want to remind you that this is a Christian ritual and that it is for those who have believed in Christ and have been baptized into his name. If you are not a baptized Christian, you don't have to participate. You can just remain in your pew and wait. However, if you do believe in Jesus and would like to be baptized soon, then of course you are more than welcome to participate in our communion. But let us read our scriptures together. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I'd like to invite you to please come on up and take a piece of the cup and of the bread.